trakpa me som de kyanye kanya matunga che tal ti ko le lopcho mengge to papa na chongge ra lu chongge da ta ke me shingge te zo tongba ni kaje she na ko she ya ke yo mar ka ya ke yo mar kyon de yon de ka ke ko ha ko yo mar za chu yo mar ro no dis go ra ta tongba ni le thoba che ka re de sam lo ta ta go che te ne so so sam lo ta o te ya go cha ha ko te ne ya ne ya do kom de ge te zo ya ko in ji ba ki ma re se go ra ko som kom be rim ge tongba ni ngi sum do to na nam ba ko do tak ba den do ba ri de jigbe ju ta jinda te ve shir se a sam jang ngan jinde nge ma na shi de ge go ma re o te na nge ba tong ba ni ji te chung se ji she be ka sa la tak ba ju ha che ba cha wo tong ba se tong se to ha ko ya wo che ha ma go ne ne ko shi ge ro ta me ba re du go ka ga me shi ge do a sam je ko che da lu ye ne ge ro ra
So then, if we look at the commentary on this verse, people, the commentator is taking the words from the verse and then adding some commentary to each word. So it says here, like cowards, cowherds, people who are herding sheep or cows or whatever, sheep herder and so forth, is an example of somebody who doesn't really think much about anything except for taking care of their livestock, who see neither virtues nor faults in it, can hear about emptiness 100 times without beginning to feel afraid, because they do not regard it as either beneficial or harmful. They don't see anything about emptiness. Why would I want to think about it? Why would I want to hear about it? So then they don't feel afraid at all. And but then somebody who has a little bit more ability to reflect, then they gradually, well, it says here, when one perceives emptiness directly, then through a gradual process of hearing, thinking, and meditating, fear stops completely, because one is free from conceptions of a self, which are the cause of fear. Here, perceiving emptiness directly means that you do it through this process. First, you hear something about it, and then you reflect, how is it? And then you get that understanding. You meditate on it until you become familiar with that understanding. And then you perceive, you have this direct experience of emptiness, and then because you no longer have this conception of self, okay? You have no longer this I thing stops. So then you're not going to be afraid, because you're not thinking I anymore. So then, so that kind of person is not afraid at all. So then, thus we can say with certainty that fear arises in people who have only a little knowledge of emptiness, means that they heard about it, they think, oh, maybe it's all right, maybe it's not, but then they have some kind of, because they have this kind of half understanding, then they think that it's, talking about the non-existent, the complete non-existence of themselves, and that they find very, intimidating, or what's going to cause you a lot of fear.
Tene de pedero apenas se ora lambo che nyo bale ya kyen che shwa chu yi na mi ko ke ge ha ma ko ke de kyen khari yin de khari til nyang ga khari ha ma ko no ko ke shi ge yo ma re de sha ge ne o tene shin du mong ba mi ji la se kyen yin chung se she ba ko ya bo che ha ko ge de yo da ko chu bi yor nge ten de ten de che kang ga chang de yo ne ko shi ge yo ma ra da ko to ji kyen de yin de ha ko ya bo ra ma jang ge de shi ge de wa ta de shen o ta de pa sa ge to wa ji yu sha ge de da bu de kar je sa shi ge de wa de na shen de se ge
So the example in this analogy is that a well-trained person is not afraid to mount a mad elephant, because they know exactly what to do, and so then they're not afraid. Nor is an extremely stupid person, somebody who has no idea what's going to happen. They could easily throw me and trample me. If they absolutely don't know that, then they're not afraid either. So yet someone who knows a little about the dangers and benefits involved feels frightened. So then somebody knows what that elephant can do, and what the possibilities are, and here and this and that. Then then they're not about it, they have a sincere fear of that mad elephant.
Teta gomba meba, kua la juji ki ta, tene tanzil hengi de kundali ya gomba yoba tezo, suyor no. Tene jiba kiki yores. Teta gomba meba yin dogji chula jiba yurse. Rua, dadi nyamdu nyambe. Jiba nam ngeba kona nesu do, kua la juba chibe chue tanzil hengi sudu. Garanzu kangar yoram busin yanshe liyore. Tendu yanshe liyore. Nga sanzo lo lenji liya rangwaan bitrubari si shaliyongu duwa. Di nganzi lenji diriwa. Ani nga tendu jikiran sambanashi yomare sudu konjikba ki yora. Kunda sudu chirubadu zo o nga yore. Kungu nalo yore. Takba chikbu rangwaa rangya tuba yore. Sokbu dantizu midakbari dimare. Di nalo le takba chikbu rangwaa yore si. Kunda yungi tuzu le tongba nishe ne konjikba ki yore no. Kunda la sokba la chiba teta. Gomba meba ye, koa len dogji, gomba meba de karisna, koa len dogbe shu, tongba nyele ya, ane jibri girwe, rehe sigwara. Tamba mebe shu, shu lo pangba oso, kibu tamba maiba tezuwe, ane jibri kigre sembre da. Chila meba kona ane jubji chula, gomba de teda, gomba meba ye, dogji chula, jibri girus. Deep observation.
So then, the next verse is explaining why beings do fear, why they do fear, people do fear emptiness. And here it says, on page 324, why childish people fear emptiness. Here, childish people are those who don't understand emptiness, and it says, why do they fear emptiness? Because of a lack of familiarity. So childish beings are certainly only familiar with that which involves them. Because of unfamiliarity, they fear that which extricates them. So then, childish beings are certainly only familiar, if we read the commentary, childish beings are certainly only familiar with innate and intellectually formed conceptions of self, which involve them in cyclic existence. Here, the commentator is adding the word innate and intellectually formed conceptions of self. Innate conceptions of self, even animals have this, or even a bug has an innate conception of self. And they're thinking I, just this is the thought of I that comes naturally within us, and therefore those kind of people or beings, if they are confronted with emptiness, then or the teachings on emptiness, then they feel afraid, and then there's also this intellectually formed conceptions of a self. Here is talking about there are plenty of teachings where they then say that the self exists as a separate entity. There's a independent soul that within the body and mind. The body and mind are just temporary, on the superficial components, and then the self is within all of that and exists in an independent way. These kinds of teachings then are people form based on those teachings what's called as an intellectually formed conception of self, or you might even translate misconception of self, which then involve them in becoming born and reborn. Since such childish beings have no previous familiarity with the teaching that extricates one from the cycle of birth and death, they fear emptiness. So they're just not familiar with this idea of emptiness. And based upon that, then they fear, because they fear that they will lose this self that they have conceived of. So there are these two different conceptions of self. There's an innate conception of self. It's just what we all have, even animals and so forth. We all naturally have this feeling that I. It just sort of comes, automatically to us without us having to come up with some kind of reason, you know, for me being me, you know. It just automatically comes up. And but then these other ones, these intellectually formed conceptions of a self, are the ones that based on other tenet systems where we've been taught, you know, that the self exists in such and such a way, as an independent entity. If you take away the body and the mind, then there's this self, this self that exists on its own. It has its own independent existence in its own right, and that kind of, you know, intellectually acquired understanding of the self reinforces this our belief in self, and such that, you know, it sort of makes it stronger. Maybe this is a good time then for questions. Yeah, anybody had any questions?
Yeah.
Out there on Skype or here in the room, it's either way. You have a question, Kathy?
Yes, hi. Let me go back to my previous notes. During the part that we were talking about using yourself and as an example to understand or to look for the self, and you said that you can tell this sometimes when someone insults you, to pay attention to how you feel and look for the me, and it can't be found. So I'm wondering, if we really understood emptiness and we were insulted by someone, does that mean that the insult is just a projection from someone else's mind?
Just a projection? You mean it has no real basis in yourself, you mean?
I think that would help me to be a lot more patient.
Dombini Yabuchi Shena, then a Michi. Projections and a Ming Dakba Mado code the Gune Gune Made Dendre Semla Shar Tugida Bay.
Oh, Gune Made the Kosatuma called Gunjuviora.
The code Gunjuviora. Yeah, Gunde Gune Made Gune Made Kongi.
I call Gune Yimba, you would remember Yungura. Gunjuvi, you know, call it Mugi Omara. Ngal ngarazine okongal chisigdu sambirwa. nyugyo mare.
Yeah.
Maranzu nebe nashi nyugyo mare.
Yeah.
Oh, de.
Yeah, for some...
Shandaji dole lab nashi, tinde yungudwa kashi. Yeah. Katambe lama tuzo. Kari lana, ko doji lab, dili, chokzi dili lab, da, ko chikwa rachi lab, da, do sambado. Ko gyamu shoya rachi war, mada, ke yo mare. Asa, tinde yungudwa. Ma nyo na ke nyugyo mare.
Yeah.
Maranzu nyugyo samna, pacho di, oh, tanda lab gurwa, ko nyugyo sam lab gurwa.
So then, so the problem actually here is more that it harms us, you know. When somebody insults us, we feel harmed, and so then, you know, for instance, if that person is insulting somebody next to us, they say, "Oh, that's okay. He's not hurting me. I don't feel it," you know. But then when he turns around and insults you, then you feel, "Oh, he's hurting me." You know, this is you have this, you know, kind of feeling that you're being harmed by these words. But for a person who understands emptiness, then that harm doesn't come at all. Okay, you don't feel the harm at all. The harm is because you understand selflessness. It's really it's the harm. I mean, the insult could be true or not true. Okay, but still, you don't feel the fault that they're pointing out could be true or not true, but the point is that you wouldn't feel harmed. That the Gaudiya Lamas are I don't know how you want to think of them, the former lamas, the lamas, earlier lamas, earlier practitioners in Tibet, they sort of said, you know, when you know emptiness, then it's just sort of, when somebody insults you, it's like, you know, insulting a stone. It's just like you don't react at all. It's just like you can insult the table. It's all you do is you just sort of laugh that the person's trying to insult you. You don't feel at all harmed at all. So then the other person just sort of feels, you know, a little dismayed because they weren't able to harm you, you know, and so they weren't able to, you know, hurt your feelings, basically. And then they go, "Oh, what's going on?" You know, he's laughing or she's laughing, you know. So then that's what I mean by laughing about it, you know. The other person, you know, will not feel like they succeeded in what they wanted to do. They're actually, they wanted to hurt your feelings.
Wow.
Okay, now Sarah has a question here.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe you have to give her the. But we need this up here. You're welcome.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, Shana.
What's Shana?
Oh, dear. Okay.
I just have a question about the insult, because I was just thinking about if we truly perceive emptiness, if, you know, if we're perceiving emptiness, if somebody's trying to insult us, would it enable us to kind of, their insult is really coming out of their ignorance or pain. And so if we are truly perceiving emptiness, then, you know, instead of feeling hurt, we see their pain and we see their ignorance, and therefore we're not hurt by it. Does that make sense?
We're not hurt, we see their,
Dimu la dene ko kasa misheba la dene ko duts lapio de dene gatsa dende hagogir dende gatsa dombeni doktara yintan dende di kongi dimu la dene jumba de kasa kongi kasa
nyomong la dene jumba de dene ngatsu ko ko la ningje so ko ningje la ma so ngal ye ko ningje ko la that's she ke de ni dende sam ge de ngatsu kongi 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 nyomong re de de ko ko la yang ningje ke yo de be
de ta de de ko ni ga yo ra
na
ka ji ge de ko ko kondu san la bu da da ko kondu shawan du so re Simba rung shin du me nev re su yu ora.
Na.
Shiba rung shin du me ko kondru shen wadu sun ore. Ning ji sam me nev re yung gira.
Na, na.
Tanda tongba nyi to ne dandu di marwa.
Na.
Tene chi lab de di ko, o kwe lab gudwa sam ngala ne ji di rang wadu chuba sam gi omara.
Hmm.
Ngala lab gudwa sam lab sa di rang wadu chuba sam gi omara.
Hmm.
Ko gyuma nang shi ji.
Hmm.
Gyuma ming chui chi ki chik lab na shi kanga tso ni machine chik chik lab de so le so le wara.
Na.
Rangwa du lababu ne shi lababu de yomare.
Hmm.
Nga lab se de nga la labu son rangwa de yomara.
Hmm.
Di chan de ne yu mara ko.
Na. Oh, di de ba.
Oh, di.
The reason that you don't feel harmed by it is that you, first of all, you're not thinking I. And then the other person, you're not thinking them. You know, they're... That both of them, both yourself and the other person who's insulting you, appear like a magician's illusion is an example. Just they don't have any reality to them at all, and therefore there's no hurt that goes. You know, there's no transferring of harm. Mm. But there's another way where you know you would. You're talking about is more another way of perceiving the harmer with compassion. Okay, that's called compassion because you understand that they're coming from, they're under the control of their own, you know, affliction. But that's a different perspective.
Yeah. Mm. Kondru di dang, gashira, dangjin di li ya, ko mewa sogo re samma, ko kansa di li yu mara, nga ji namji si yu ba. Tuwa nyamu char si ki, nyamu dang di kansa me
si.
Kondru di dang, mishi be samlu dang dang ma shen pari, di mewa sogo re samma ma do. Kansa di mewa sogo re samma yu mara.
Then for a person who has that kind of understanding, when they see the person insulting you, and they understand that they're under the power of their hostility, okay, that they're controlled by their feeling of hostility, and then, but they the person doesn't the one who understands emptiness isn't thinking about the person at all. They're just thinking about that affliction of hostility. Okay, and then they see that's for them. That's the enemy. That's the problem. They're not looking at the person at all. They just care about this hostility is increasing. So then they're thinking, well, how can I reduce that person's hostility?
Okay, so for somebody who understands emptiness, when they are insulted, they will be like a stone, you said. For the people who do not get to that point of understanding emptiness, what will be the steps or the script we have to do so we achieve that emptiness? Like somebody insults me and I feel the anger in me.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do, or what can I say, or what's the steps for me to achieve one day the emptiness and not?
Oh yeah, Michi rangla mera dangla dene ngatsu dombeni mashena dene dombeni kasa keela ngatsu kare samla dangore kanto ko mera dangiorwa dene. Because don't be care that because carry some la dango and they come to mera dango.
Oh, there. Don't be some la coil, Signora. Oh, yes. Oh, there.
Hm.
They could da, nah, say they could.
So bring to mind that the person who's insulting you there's a dependent arising there, that the person is depending on all these different factors, then the person is saying these insulting words, and then the recipient oneself is also receiving those that sound, those words, but there's no independent self. There's no independent independent person insulting me. There's no independent self receiving those words, and it's just a dependent arising of many causes and conditions that is making it possible for me to receive those words. Thinking along those lines. But for cultivating, another way would be just to look for, who am I supposed to get angry back at, then look for the person. Is it the person's mind, the person's body, or looking for the person that you're trying to get angry at. You can't find that person. That would be a way of cultivating emptiness in that circumstance. But for us who don't understand emptiness, the best thing is to really think about how that person is under the influence of their hostility, and therefore they're saying some insulting words, and because they're under the influence of something else, how can I, I should be patient with them, they're not, in their right minds, they're controlled by something else.
Now,
Diaz
has another question. I have another question, but if somebody else...
Is there somebody else who had a question that on the Skype or any other questions? Mara has another question. Amy seems to there. Yeah.
Pajo de ko tagin duja lamge chorwa ko samlo ta che mabu che tende cho ne ne ko te changi ara tayo gara te so so ge seba che ne ya shu de se ko ju jin tende cho bal ten tende changi ara so 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 ba kong shana kai o marwa te so so kong de chi de ne ma so na ne chu ne gurwa so ko me te se gora ne me koran de jujin so du tsige ji tup de tup sarwa ko to so so lagba de so chamne ya gar ma to so so lagba de til de den de ne gar wa di na she ko de jujin ten de ji so ni chi lag yo ra te so so ma ne che de sha ne ha jo ra de de sam lu tang de wa
na so then if you understand that the person who's insulting you there's all these different components that are going into creating this insulting word, and it's kind of a dependent arising that is happening, then you have to think, why would I get angry at this? You sort of have to think in that circumstance, you then you know, then think, well, you know, it's sort of like sticking your hand in the fire. Why would I want to put, then return, you know, say something, you know, insulting back? You know, why would I put my hand in the fire? It's the same idea. Just better for me to stand patiently and not react to this insulting word. Mm. Then, Karen.
What? Has
another question. Wait. It was Amy who had a question, but wait a sec, Karen. Okay. Yeah, I forgot about Amy. Amy Letchikyo.
This is sort of a vocabulary question, but I've been thinking about the word arising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand better what that means. When Geshe-la once said that it's wrong to say that the meaning of dependent arising is production from causes and conditions. So I've been trying to understand a little bit the difference between something that is produced, a production, and an arising.
I'm wondering
what is an arising, and how does it differ from something produced?
Mm-hmm. How could the tzigva, It's okay in the context of thinking about causes and conditions that in connection with and based on and dependent upon various causes and conditions, such and such as exists or is produced or arises, you can use those words together. But the distinction comes when you're talking about how that something is arises. You can't use the word production when you use dependent upon the basis of imputation, the mind imputes such the name or the concept right to that thing. And that's how something arises. Something arises as a dependent designation. When you can't use the word production in that context, in the context of dependent, dependent designation or dependent imputation. So dependent upon the imputing concepts and basis of imputation, it arises or exists, or you have to use those kinds of words. You can't use is produced. And usually you just say it exists, yuba, or chunga. You can say chunga. You can think of arising in that context. You can think of arising as meaning existence in that sense. But arising and when you have causes and conditions, you can think of it as production. a technical note there. Okay, so then Karen has
okay,
a question.
Mm.
Follow-up question?
What? What?
Mar had a follow-up.
Oh, Mar didn't. She had a separate question. Then she's.
Garza.
Oh, Mar, there's Shendachi. Yeah,
so if somebody insults us, we have to think of emptiness. What happens when somebody says something nice about you? Are we still stone?
So you have to remain the same, whether you're being, you know, insulted or praised. You have to have that sort of stay, you know, we've already decided that, you know, if somebody insults you, you shouldn't react, but also you shouldn't be happy when somebody praises you. You should sort of stay without reaction at the same time, in the same way, rather. Because, you know, then they go, oh, I can really manipulate this person if I, you know, the other person, you know, sort of, I can, oh, this person's easy to deceive because I can praise them, and they say, oh, yeah, that must be true, you know, that must be true about me, you know. It's the same ideas that you're getting that me coming out, right?
Kada do the dinner bed, she was in a zucca, do such a yora. The manges cuyora. Could do it, and they would have caught a give us out, but there's some neaburo. Madu singa that you do some do your mare. There's some land in men, condosagro. Some dangum cura, semi rub down your measure. Somebody canna casumer duna to sumer chella, and then Jigden come to Yam, a congo yon yora. And it told me some day, December made you Chicago yon yora. Yana, she damn mugger, two.
So we really need to keep the mind sort of in an impartial or equanimous state, whether people say something insulting or say something, you know, good about us. We have to try to remain in a you know, just sort of like, well, it's almost like non-reactive, really, and then that means that then when somebody does praise you, then you say they're doing something very good, you know, and that wonderful. Admire that they're doing something virtuous, that they were able to say something, you know, kind express your good qualities, something like that. You're trying to keep your mind even, really, and then. Because in life, people are constantly insulting you or praising. So then, what we're trying to do is keep our mind from being disturbed, right? Either one way, you know, you're sort of delighted, and the other way, you feel sad. So then, you're trying to keep your mind just sort of in balance, I guess, is the one way of saying it too. Then you're sort of in danger of being, you know, what do you say, misled or deceived if you if you if you if you're easily, you know, easily praised, then people will go, oh, this is going to, I can, you know, what do you say, easily deceive this person.
Well, yeah, I do.
Thank you. That was
so helpful.
Do you
stop and make sure you're calm after someone insults you? I mean, some of it's hard to go right into emptiness if you're upset by what someone says. And just as a corollary to that, if you meditate on emptiness, does it create a store such that when you're insulted, it's easier not to react or not to get upset or feel harmed?
First you choose to be patient. You say, oh, this person is insulting me, I'm not going to react with anger. You have to decide that from the beginning, and then you can, based on that, being, what do you say, non-reactive, I guess is the way we look at it. In one way, it just means being patient. Then based on that, you can be compassionate towards that person, or you can meditate on emptiness with regards to that person. That would be important. What was the second part of your question? It's two parts.
Yes, it's just that if you meditate on emptiness, you know, apart from any of these situations, does it create a store such that when you're insulted, it becomes easier not to be reactive or not to be upset or feel harmed?
So then it dombini la gomna, then it kale kale, then it michik mera dangna, michik atura dangna, then kasa sem nyomba chik sha tuge de beg.
Odi sha tura. Namdine dombini kumde shimbu yonada, dombini yakshirwa. Dombini kumde shimbu mena, chidanga saba kumde yakshirwa. Kun namdine dombini kumde yonan,
So if you're meditating on emptiness and you're actually getting some understanding, and then somebody insults you or praises you, then in that circumstance, that's the best way to remain, you know, what do you say, unreactive or impartial. I think unreactive in this context is probably better to say than equanimous or something like that. The word is similar in the Tibetan, but I think unreactive is probably what we would understand the meaning. So then, in that circumstance, then. But if you're meditating on emptiness and you're not getting much understanding, then it's better just to keep a general understanding of how to be patient in that case, you know, how to be patient in that circumstance.
Then
so So the most important thing is just not to be unhappy if somebody insults you. And because once you get unhappy, you know, if somebody said something harmful to you and you get unhappy, then that's the food of hostility. Your mind's going to get disturbed by hostility under if you let your mind get unhappy. Usually when somebody insults us, we start to get unhappy about it, you know, what they're saying. So it's important to keep our mind happy that time. Maybe that's enough. Yeah. So then we'll say these two bottom verses here of dedication to share any merit that we've accumulated here with all beings. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deed. We didn't see Nancy from Hawaii today. Okay, see you all later.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Josh. Should I, to close it, do I just go offline, basically?
What's that?
When I close it, do I just go offline?
When you close?
To close off of Skype, yeah.
Quit Skype? Yeah. Well, everybody's gone. Yeah.
But sometimes I noticed that I left it on last week, so.
Oh, if you leave Skype on, then I think if everybody quits, you're not still on Skype.
Okay, because this little thing stays green.
Oh, I see. You're trying to do that. Oh, you don't have to
do that. You don't
do that? No, right. I never do that.
Okay, because I don't like to have it green, because then other people.
Oh, yeah, and then people start calling
you. Think
you
are, yeah,
that's
right.
A problem, yeah. You can just.
So what happened if he?
You can just quit it. That's the easiest. You know, Command Q. Then you don't.
Oh, Command Q.
Yeah.
Who knew about Command Q? Okay.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, sure.
For a very full.
Yeah.
I won't talk. Say anything now because if I come back again, then we can talk.
Okay.
That's why we're trying to set the world.
Yeah, right.
It's been very good.
Good to think it over. Sleep on it.
Yeah. And this angle is much more. I've been studying a lot of Chogyam Trungpa and Pema Chodron, kind of the, you know, westernized Tibetan Buddhism, which has helped me a lot immeasurably in my life.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I also like the roots of it, which is what this is.
Yeah, right.
Going back to that and feeling that connection with how this stuff came together. People thought about this for a long time, and I think I respect that and find it very interesting.
Yeah.
And I gained a lot from this in the way.
Oh,
wonderful.
Good.
So I'm glad
it's good to
when you've got
hear many different
the old guy there, he taught.